Mark chapter, Matthew rather, chapter number 1. I'm going to pray. That's just my way to pray before we look at the Word of God. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the good, sweet Holy Spirit that I felt here today. Oh God, I praise you. I honor you. Praise you. Magnify you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for seeking me out and saving me. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed hope we have. Help us now as we look in your Word. Here's your little flock, and they need to hear from heaven today. We need to hear from you, Lord, not me. I pray you'd help us this morning. You do what needs doing, and just help me to preach in the way you want me to. Oh God, just get all the glory and honor and praise. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Yeah, you go ahead, sit down. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, let's if everybody's obeyed the Spirit of God, and that's a very important thing, church. We come to worship, and we have to worship in spirit and in truth. And I pray you've been truthful with the Holy Spirit this morning and done what He's asked you to do. We're going to begin reading, and I guess I'll just give you a little background. This morning I'm going to talk to you about Joseph, and hopefully tonight about the Christ child, which is really what Christmas is all about. But last week I think both services we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And God came to Mary, He came with direction, and He came with instruction for her life. And she was about just the ordinary things of life. She wasn't in a state of prayer or state of worship. Just the ordinary things of life. And Mary struggled with God's message. She didn't really quite understand all the particulars of it. And we spent the bulk of our time talking about why Mary was chosen. It wasn't because of her intellect or her wealth or her fame or anything like that, but it was because of her character. It was because of who she was. And we mentioned some things. We preached on these things. She refused to be influenced by her environment. She was from Nazareth, a wicked town, a wicked place. So wicked that I believe it was Nathaniel who said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And so but she had stayed pure. She maintained her purity. She dealt with sin, refused to allow sin into her life. And when it did come, she repented and dealt with it. And then she desired to fully understand God's message. She said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? She wanted to know what God had for life and how it was going to work. And my, all these things speak of a godly character. She yielded her plans to God's plans. She had her little plans set out in life, but when God came by, many times God will change your plans. Young people, God will change your plans so many times in life. And then we talked about her seeking godly companionship and counsel in Elizabeth. An individual, her elder, and a godly woman. The Bible says her and her husband were blameless according to the law. And Mary was focused on the Lord. If you look at that, Brother Brian told me that she used the pronoun he or him. I believe you said, Brother Brian, 16 times in that passage. Her focus was on him. And then I just said this in closing. She refused a murmuring and complaining spirit in the face of difficulty and inconvenience. You never see her griping or complaining. You never read of that in the Scriptures. But this morning I want to read just a little passage, and then I want to preach to you on this fellow called Joseph. There's much we can say about Joseph. And we're going to look at a time period in this text just before they are married. They are in what's called an espousal period. And that espousal period, Alfred Edersheim was a scholar who studied Jewish customs and Jewish ways. And he said that this espousal was as sacred as the marriage vows. It was as if she was called Joseph's wife before they were ever married in the Word of God. You can see that from Matthew and Luke's account. And if there was a sin or something that was going to nullify this marriage, it could only be done by divorce. And that's what Joseph was going to do. He's going to put her away. Now, in our day, if you're engaged, you just walk away. But Joseph had to put her away. And so it was a little more of a formality than it is today. And any kind of immorality was considered adultery. And so this thing of the espousal, I guess the closest we have is an engagement, but it was much more binding, according to Edersheim. And I have no reason to disagree with that. And so I said all that to say this: when Mary turns up pregnant, this becomes a great concern in Joseph's life. He cannot, and I don't think he would have anyways, but he cannot just walk away due to the nature of this relationship. And so I wanna talk to you a little bit, and I said this already, but during this time it is a before marriage time. It's a time period when the relationship is serious, but it's not marriage at this point, although it's much looked on that way. And so during this time, there were some difficult things that happened. And there were some difficult decisions that had to be made. And here's where I'm coming from today. The devil hates a godly marriage. He hates that. And so he is going to try to hinder or attack that. But can I say too, as we look at this, many times an ungodly marriage, the Lord may bring things up to try to keep that from taking place. And so you have a two-sided coin there. Now let me just say too, we know our society today is much different from theirs. Two individuals who are contemplating or thinking about marriage may, even though it is different, may still face some of the same things that Joseph and Mary faced. And so as we look at this this morning, I want us to just think about some decisions that they had to make. And I'll get where I'm going in just a minute if you'll just bear with me. Mary had to decide if she was going to yield to the perfect will of God for her life. If you will remember, she said, "Be it unto me And so she yielded to the Lord's will for her life, and she did that before she was married. And maybe I'm preaching to young people this morning. I don't know. But I want to say to you, you need to decide if you're going to yield to the Lord's perfect will for your life or not. You need to do that before you get tied into a relationship. I think that's critical. I think it's very important because that's going to set the tenor and that's going to set the direction for the rest of your life, young people. And so we see she had to make that decision. And then, in spite of all the difficulty and the confusion and the can't understand that, Joseph had to decide what he was going to do. Do I marry anyway because I love her and she just made a mistake? Or do I follow God and keep sin out of my life and stay away from ungodly? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. You see, in the espousal period, now this is what they say, and I have no reason to disagree with it, that the prospective bride and groom had no communication during that period. And so Joseph's getting what he's getting secondhand. He's getting it from outside sources. And so Joseph has to decide, does he put her away? And even after the angel spoke to him, does he believe an unbelievable message? I mean, think about this. If you had some dream and you felt like God spoke to you, if you were a man, spoke to you and said to you a message that was supernatural, said to you, this girl you're going to marry, she's pregnant, but it's not by man, but it's from the Lord, it might be a little hard for you to believe. And so there's Joseph's got to make those decisions. And during this time period, I need to make this little truth before we get started. Her decisions affected him, and his decisions affected her. And can I just say this before we really get started this morning? You don't live to yourself. Your decisions affect other people. Young people, your decisions going to affect your parents, your siblings, your church, your friends. It affects other people. How many of you know people that's made decisions that maybe were close to you and it's broke your heart, even though you had no part in that decision? It broke your heart. And so our decisions affect other people. So, and here's another little truth I want to get out to you. What I'm trying to do is lay some groundwork so you'll understand where I'm coming from. This time period for Joseph and Mary was a very critical time period. It's very critical. Now you have to understand this. Their job was to parent the Savior. And of course we won't have that job, but can I say if you're saved, God has a work for you that's extremely important for you to fulfill. Extremely. They perhaps didn't appreciate the magnitude of the responsibility God was giving to them. Maybe they did, but I wonder that, if I could say it that way. And many times you've gone. Ben, let me just use you for an example. Your obedience to the Lord could be the result of souls being saved and going to heaven, or souls dying and going to hell. Now that's pretty sobering. If you obey the Lord, it could be that there are souls that will go to heaven because of your obedience, But if you choose to disobey, they may go to hell. If God, let me give you an example. If God called you to the mission field and you said, yeah, that's a good thing, but I'm going to serve in my local church. And you just disobeyed and everybody's going to think Ben's a top-notch guy and he's what he ought to be. But the fact of the matter is, there's souls who will go to hell because you disobeyed the will of God for your life. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so I'm saying these times in our life, these times are very important. It's very important. Mary and Joseph was at, and I don't know their age. Some think Joseph was much older than Mary, and that's why you don't read of him in the later years of Jesus' life, because he perhaps has passed off the scene. I don't know if that's so or not. And so we realize it's important, but I want to say this to you about this marriage situation and really about friendship. In the Southeast especially, in the Southeast there's many ungodly, church-going young people who know how to talk the talk. Let me say this again. There's many people in the Southeast who can talk the talk and impress you that they're what they ought to be when in fact they're far from what they ought to be. And so here's what I want to say to you this morning, young people, as I look at Joseph and I think about Joseph and I see him here, it's as if he's being very careful about what he does. It's as if he's been extremely careful. Now, young people, let me run a rabbit for a minute. When you are seeing some young person and you all begin to get serious, you need to be very careful. I'm saying it right, am I not? Now I'm going to talk to the since we're preaching on Joseph, I'm going to talk to the young men, but really it goes both ways. Young ladies, you need to be very careful. Because see, here's what happens. Anybody can talk the talk. If you've been around church very long, you know how to say all the right things. I love you, brother. My, we need to do right. We need to do this. We need to be this. We can say, we can put on the facade, can we not? And so I want to say to you young people, be careful during this critical time period before marriage, before you're getting to the age of marriage. Many of you all are, Caleb and Brady and Ben and Josh and Matthew, all of you are starting to move toward that age over the next few years. You need to be extremely careful during this time period. You will have to make decisions that will affect your life for the rest of, make decisions that will affect you for the rest of your life. That's sobering to me. That's what Joseph is doing. Had Joseph said no, I'm not going to marry her, he would have missed out on the privilege of being the stepfather of the Savior of the whole world. He would have missed it. He would have been left out of this thing. And so I just want to say, young people, be wise. Be wise and evaluate. If you will notice in our text, in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, he's thinking. He's not just taking this casual. He's thinking through it. You say, preacher, what I need to think about? Let me just give you a few things, and I'll try to get to the text here just a second. Young people, as you deal in this time period of life, you need to ask yourself some questions about whoever it is you get concerned about down the road. Are they lazy? Fellas, you don't want a lazy wife, and girls, you don't want a lazy husband. Do you know there's a lot of husbands expect their wives to keep them up? That's not the biblical way. You hear me? If they won't work before you marry them, not going to work after you, Mike. Get that in your head. Because that's how it is. And fellas, if you won't work, you're not worth shooting. That's exactly right. A man that won't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And if you don't work, you ought not eat. That's the Bible. That's where it is. Now, I know we live in a land of a bunch of deadbeats, but that's the Word of God for your life. And so first, address the work ethic issue. And then ask yourself this, are they deceptive? You know, a lot of people can tell the truth as far as the letter goes, but they're telling a lie as far as the spirit of the matter goes. There's things you can say, and I don't have an example of, but you can say it and it's the truth, but it implies a lie. And there's a lot of people, experts at that, and they can say all the right things to make them look good, but the fact of the matter is, even though the letter, they're telling the truth, they're really telling a lie. Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but you will if you ever get around that crowd. They're good at camouflaging the truth. And so be careful, young people. I'm telling you, be careful about this thing. Here's Joseph. He thinks Mary's lied to him. He thought he had her figured out, and now here she is pregnant, and he's thinking he's in the dark. The angel hadn't appeared to him at this point. He's thinking all kinds of things. Young people, just let me continue on for a minute, and I'll get to the text in just a second. Are they flirtatious or shamefaced? Are they bashful or are they flirtatious? And I understand personality comes into play, but be careful about flirtation. God teaches that godly women need to be shamefaced. That's the truth. That means bashful, kind of keeping to the distance and not aggressive and outgoing. Now, really, what I'm saying, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. It's how it is. And then, what kind of attitude do they carry? They carry an old sour, sulky attitude. Or do they have a good spirit about them and they're pleasant? You don't want some old moody, soured person to spend the rest of your life with. Do they have to be the center of attention, demanding your constant attention and time? Are they selfish or selfless? Are y'all hearing me, young people? You hearing what I'm saying? You have to get a hold of this. This is where Joseph and Mary are at in this period before their marriage. And there's so many important decisions they're making. And I'm just sitting there reading and I'm saying, hey, this is no different than our day. You all have to make important decisions. Do they listen? Or they know-it-alls? Can they be told anything? You know, I run into people all the time and they act like they're receiving what I'm saying. They don't do it a bit more than nothing. I've had them tell me, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They didn't do it a bit more than anything. You can talk and they hear you and they'll amen you. And they'll even agree with it. There's some people, they're going to do what they want to do, and it doesn't matter what's right or what you say. Now, it's real quiet in here, and I'm not even got to the message, but I'm just telling you, this little time before marriage is critical. And you young people are starting to age a little bit, and you better get serious about what I'm saying. You can wreck your life if you're not careful. Do they want to dabble in sin? By that I mean nothing big, just carnal minded. Are they modest? Do they have modesty? Here's what I said in Sunday school, and I believe I'm right. There's many of God's people, and maybe men and women, they live on the edge of modesty and immodesty. They live right on the edge of it. And they want to be modest enough to be accepted in church and immodest enough for the not to suffer the reproach of being a child of God in the world. That's right. And when you live right on the edge, let me just say to you, modesty is an issue of the heart. Really, really, ladies and men, how you dress tells me about your heart. It's an issue of the heart. And those who try to live on the edge have a heart problem. Amen. They have a heart problem. God's people don't care to get off the edge and back up from the edge of right and wrong. And here's what I'm saying to you before, just a little lesson for you young folks, before we go on. You better be wise in this time period as you start getting close to the marrying age and you start pursuing in that area. You better be wise, both male and female. I ought have got more amens than just Brother Hill. You know that's right. It is right. And so that's where Joseph is. As we come to this text, that's where Joseph is. In verse 18, the Bible says this, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused together, before they came together..." Let me read that again. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." The Bible says before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now here's what I think that means if we read the next verse with it. I think that means she was beginning to show. And a lot of folks would say this, what that teaches us is that sin will find you out. But the fact of the matter was, Mary hadn't sinned. So that's not the lesson we're looking at this morning. The lesson we're looking at, and I think it's important for you and I to get in our minds, is that, and this was physical with Mary, but it applies spiritually. When you take Jesus down on the inside of your heart and life, and you're real about the thing, that you will not be able to hide who you are. People will see you and realize there's something different about your life. That's the lesson. That's how it is. We live in this time that people supposedly get saved. They keep living like they're living. Nothing changes. There's no change of heart, no change of life, no change of want-tos. I'm telling you, there's something wrong somewhere. When the Lord moves in, He makes a difference. You may slip away, but you'll be like that bad corn. You'll turn up again. I've seen them all my life. They might slip away. When I first came here, there's a fella, you probably know Brother Allen who I'm speaking about. He'd slip away for a little while. But here he'd come back in, his old head be hanging low, and he knew. He knew he wasn't what he ought to be. He knew it messed up. You know what he was doing? He's getting back right with God again. And I'm going to tell you, when you get God in your life, and you think you have God in your life, maybe I'll say it that way, and nothing changes, you've been deceived. Here's Mary, and the Savior is on the inside physically, and it begins to show. And that same principle holds true spiritually. Young folk, those out in the world ought to see Jesus in your life. If you're what you ought to be, you ought not fit in. You ought to be one of those weirdos, one of those strange ones, one of those peculiar ones, Brother David, one of those that the world realizes they're not of us. They're different. There's something about them that's different. Young folk, when you're like the world, something's wrong in your life. Listen to me. I seem like I'm kind of geared on the young people, but really that's for all of us, isn't it? When we find ourselves fitting in the world, something's wrong somewhere. We're different. Here she is, and Mary has the Savior on the inside, and she's beginning to be different. Things are beginning to change in her life. The lesson is this, that Christ makes a difference. And during this espousal, see, Joseph, he doesn't get to communicate with her. He doesn't know, and he just hears that his bride is pregnant. His bride is pregnant. Now, just put yourself where Joseph's at. He's hurt. I mean, this hurts him. He thought he had a godly woman. He thought he had someone who he could trust in. But he's been betrayed by her, as far as he's concerned. And baby, all you can imagine the emotion, humiliation. He's angry. He's bitter. He's confused. But deep in his soul, he loves Mary and cares for her. He wanted to spend the rest of his life with her and wanted her to be the mother of his children. But now, he must have been way off. You see, his feelings is based on Mary's decision to yield to God's plan for her life. And I want to say to you all, if you truly yield to God's plan for your life, there's people close to you that just won't understand. You homeschoolers, you chose to homeschool your children. How many of you suffered over that? I mean, what are you doing? You're making social introverts out of your children. And all them little statements that people say, and they don't understand that you're just trying to do what you think God wants you to do. And godly dress, all the negative comments and all those things. You see, when you yield to God, people just do not. The world just does not understand. They think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of life. My, here's Mary and she chose God. And here's Joseph and he's in the dark at this point. Now, God's going to deal with him. He's at this point. And so he's bothered and hurt. And so he has to decide, what am I going to do? What's the answer for this? He knew that he needed a godly home and a godly mother and a godly wife. He's smart enough to know that. And he thought that's what he had, but apparently he doesn't. So what's the right decision? Let's look in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He thought about the thing, and here's what he said. I don't want to be mean to her. I want to be good to her. She's mistreated me. She's been bad to me. By the way, that's God's way too. You and I are to be good to those that despitefully use us. That's the Bible. It's not an eye for an eye. Let me see if I can find that in Romans right quick. My, we live in this world that it's dog eat dog and you do me wrong and my day will come and I'll get you back. Listen to what the Bible says. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Somebody treats you evil, don't you reward him with evil. That's the Bible way. That's the Bible way. And then it says this, if it be provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. And then this is such easy preaching, me standing up here saying this to you, but you know as well as I do, sometimes it's hard living. Here's what it says in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't get your own vengeance. Avenge not yourself. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what God's people are to do? Let the Lord fight their battles for them. That's the biblical way of it. You see, this hard situation Joseph's in is going to reveal the character he has. He's a godly man. He's not going to reward evil for evil. He thinks she's been treated him evilly. But the fact of the matter, he's not going to do her that way. Here's what it says, verse 20, therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Many of God's people are overcome of evil. And by it's so easy, we fly angry in just a minute. But here's Joseph. He has to make a decision. His espoused wife is pregnant. As far as he knows, it's immorality. And so he gets a plan. He comes up with a plan. Like all of us, instead of praying and seeking God, anyway, he comes up with a plan. Notice what he says. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Here's what he said, I'm just not going to marry her. I'm not going to marry her. I thought she's a good girl, but I guess she's not, and I'm not going to sell out what I know's right just because of my feelings. Now let me tell you, young folks, you better operate your life by the Word of God and not by your feelings. Now, I know feelings is part of it sometime, but when your feelings are contrary to the Word of God, you better go with the Word of God. Amen. That's how it is. And so here he is, and he cared about her, and he has feelings for her, but he knows about holiness and righteousness and godliness, and he knows his home needs to be such, and here's an immoral lady, and so he's going to put her away. He's got his plan put together. He's made his decision. He's going to put her away. Couldn't let his feelings keep him from doing what was right. And I've said it, but let me just say it. I've got it wrote down here. God's people, we have to do right in spite of our feelings. We have to do what's right. Sometimes it's a very bitter pill to do what's right. You don't know how many people that the Word of God give me a message, and here's what I say. They're going to leave me over this. And guess what? I preach it. And sure enough, they've left. I bet you I suspect we've had 400 people pass through this church in my 23 years. And I could have. I'm no fool. I've been around long enough to know how to keep people halfway happy. I could easily compromise and keep people happy. And still, you'd say I was preaching truth. That's right. I can do that. But can I tell you what we have to do? We have to live our life by our God-given convictions. That's right. And if the whole world turns on you, you've got to have that clear conscience with God that you're preaching the truth and preaching it the way God wants it preached, or whatever your work is, you're doing it the way God wants it done. That's where Joseph's at. And he's pretty sure he's right. he's pretty sure this is the right thing. He's pretty sure he needs to buy my times. He's pretty sure he needs to put her away. And here's a good man that's made the wrong decision because he's in the dark. And you can make the wrong decision by not knowing all the facts many times. Amen. So many things in the church that people make decisions about, they really don't have all the facts. I've seen it so many times in life. Here's Joseph, a good man, a just man, a man wanting to do right, a man determined to do right. But he made the wrong decision. He's going to put her away. But here's the wonderful, wonderful thing. We see he wanted to protect her reputation. He's going to do that privately, put her away. My, treating people right when they do you wrong, it's Christ-like. It's Christ-like. It's hard to do. Joseph, here's the thing I want you to get, and I know I'm just really teaching a Sunday school lesson, I guess. He wasn't a hothead. Joseph wasn't a hothead. He didn't just fly mad and do something. He worked out a plan. But even after he had his plan, he said in verse 19 he's going to put her away privily. But verse 20, he's still thinking on it. It's as if he's really not satisfied with his decision. He's still thinking, but while he thought on these things, he's thinking. And apparently he went to sleep while he was thinking because the angel appeared unto him in a dream. And so we see Joseph, I call them reactionaries. Something happens and they just react. It's not of God. You seen that doctor peck the knee, and when he pecks the knee, the leg automatically jumps up? That's a reaction. That's not a voluntary action. That's a reaction. He's reacting to what just happened. The knee is hit, the leg flips up. God's way is not to react, but to act. That's why you have blow-ups in the church. People just react. If you get angry, let me say it again. I know I can't hardly stay on the Christmas theme. If you get angry in the church, just get in your car, go home and settle down and come back and let's deal with it like adults. And like Christian adults. Don't just react and blow up. That's childish and immature. And I'm liable. I'm subject to that. Sometimes all you can do is flee and get away because you know you're getting ready to get upset. But here's Joseph, and he has to be extremely upset. But he's just thinking. He's just thinking about this situation. He's made his call. He's going to put her away. But then, and this is what I love, the Lord shows up and helps him. Isn't the Lord, doesn't He always show up just right on time? Just when you need Him most. Here's a good man, going to marry a good girl, going to be used by God in a great work, and now he's made the wrong decision, and he's going to ruin everything, but he's doing it with a sincere heart, trying to do right, and even though he's wrong, God shows up and gives him direction. And that's how our God is. He'll help us. Joseph didn't just respond with a knee-jerk reaction. He thought he knew what to do, but he just continued thinking on the situation. He kept thinking it over, and he goes to sleep. And the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph, and he just says this to him. And I'm going to paraphrase it. You're making a mistake, Joseph. You don't need to fear. You go ahead and marry Mary. What he said. How many mistakes would we have made had God that unseen hand just some way intervened and helped us and led us in the way we ought to have gone. Can I just say we owe him everything today? Joseph will be rewarded for being the stepfather of Jesus and raising him and teaching him and training him and teaching him how to work and teaching him a skill set. But had he been left to himself, he'd made a mess out of it. Church, we need the Lord to help us. I wish you could just get that in your heart like I've got it in mine right now in my life. We need the Lord. You can't make right decisions. It takes God, and we have to act on what knowledge we have. I think Joseph did right, but he was wrong. He did as right as he knew how, but he was wrong. And it would have been a devastating decision. He thought he knew what to do, but he didn't. Oh my, God showed up. And I just want to say this to you, rational thinking in the work. Give me just a few minutes, if you would. Just let me preach for a few minutes. Rational thinking doesn't work in the spiritual realm. It doesn't work. Sometimes God, rationally, Joseph was doing the right thing, but not spiritually. Doing the right thing. God instructs him, tells him, you go ahead and marry. There's so many benefits from that. We see marriage would vindicate Mary's character to a degree. It would cover up some of the reproach and shame she'd have to suffer. He was afraid. Joseph's fearful of being disobedient to the Lord, marrying wrong, sinning against him, losing his blessings on his life. We could just talk on and on. Here's the end result. Here's the end result. And maybe I'm talking to young people. I don't know. He married a girl who had Christ living on the inside. And young folk, whether it's girls or boys, you better marry a good Christian. As far as you know and far as you can tell, a good Christian individual help you through life. You got to have it. And not just a saved individual, but one that's serious about serving the Lord. And then I'd ask you to go a step farther and marry the one God tells you to marry. That's what Joseph did. God said, don't fear, just marry. Don't fear, girls. Marry who God tells you to marry. He won't tell you to marry a sinner. He won't lead you wrong if you'll find him. Verse 24, when Joseph received instructions from the Lord, he did not procrastinate. He did not refuse or say, no, I'm not going to. He did not delay. He just obeyed what God told him to do. He allowed the Word of God to change his mind. He wasn't so hard-headed that he thought he knew everything. When God's Word told him different, he changed his mind. Would you let the Word of God change your mind? Would you let the Word of God change your mind? How long has it been since the Word of God changed your mind? How long? It did Joseph, sir. The Word of God changed his mind. And can I just say, that's what God's Word's supposed to do. It dictated his actions. He already had his plan of action. But when God's Word came to him, he changed his action. Changed his mind and thus changed his actions. And that's what we need to be. We need to let the Word of God mold us and shape us into what he wants us to be. And we're living in this day that we map us out a little plan for life, and that's our little plan. This is how it's going to be. You better let God. You better let God's Word shape and mold your thinking and your actions. Can you see why Joseph was chosen to be the stepfather of Jesus? What a godly man. Now, I've done a very poor job of laying out his character this morning. That's really what I was trying to do. But he was not vengeful. He was willing to change his mind when God spoke to him. I think he never quit loving Mary, but he's going to do the right thing in spite of his feelings. And so must we. And that's where we're at today. And I'll tell you why we've lost the power of God in our churches and in our life. We've failed to obey what God has told us to do. That's just where it's at. We've let sin... You can't help thoughts passing through your mind, but you don't have to let them stay there. That's right. And we just entertain and we think about... I pray every time I pray, ask God to put a hedge around my thought life. My, some of the thoughts that's passed through my mind. I need Him to help me with that. Here's what I'm saying. Are you willing to let the Word of God change you? Make you what you ought to be. Change your path, your direction. No telling what God has for your life, if you will. No telling, young or old, He has a work for you to do. Let's bow our heads this morning. That's my little message to you this morning. We need to learn from Joseph's life and allow that to teach and instruct us while she plays. If you need to pray, you come.